This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
6:14 on this Friday morning. Again, as Dave Cohen was saying, just now, the same as yesterday, really, with the weather. It might rain, may not, and where it does, it could be very heavy, but then again, it may not. So that's about the best we can tell you. Be aware of that. And right now, it is 77 degrees. We're going to talk about the internet here. Arushi Bhandari joins us, an assistant professor of sociology at Davidson College and author of Attention and Alienation. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you?
Ma'am,
I'm sorry. I don't know where I got that from.
Oh, no. No worries. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So I was talking to a mental health professional yesterday just about some stuff, and it seemed as though we got on a topic of social media and actually what it does when it comes to mapping the brains of young people and how it can kind of almost set them up for a troubled adulthood. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people, younger people in particular, don't really actually learn to interact socially with other people in the same way anymore. Their first sort of major sources of socialization and social activity are on social media platforms. So yes, their brains are definitely going to be developing differently because of that.
I don't know what part of the brain it is, and he told me, but I forgot. And it just it seems as though it's setting them up for a difficult adulthood, almost the same as current-day adults that have been through trauma, but not necessarily as a result of the internet, but this is simulating the trauma that some adults have been through. Accurate?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not a psychologist,
right.
So I wouldn't be able to tell you the exact processes that are happening in the brain, but I do know that the platforms are designed in a way that affect the brain, and the best example or like a comparison I can give you is that of like taking mind-altering drugs, right, or any sort of illicit drug that if you take at a young age regularly and become dependent, your brain just changes. Social media is designed also to be very highly addictive. And, you know, like it's similar to drugs in a way that like if you go on social media, your brain changes. And if you're addicted to it, your brain changes. And, you know, you might like pick up your phone to call your parent or something. And you might like find out 3 hours later you are on scrolling on TikTok or something. And so that's sort of, it takes away your agency, and that kind of stuff repeatedly does act in a similar way to a dependency to a chemical substance.
We're saying the same thing, just differently, I think, is what we're doing here. Let's talk about the internet. How much of a part of it is our lives? And, you know, when I thought about you coming on, I thought about the old thing with Marshall McLuhan back in the day in the 50s talking about TV being a vast wasteland. And it may be, but it's not as insidious of a vast wasteland as is social media. There's a big difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's also better and worse in many ways, right? So the main difference really is how much choice you have in using this media platform. So with TV, you can turn it on and turn it off. You have to do that, right? Versus with smartphones in particular, there is a limited degree of agency. You basically, every time there's a notification, we're trained almost like puppies with a treat, right? We're trained to open it and then get lost. And then you blink and lose large pockets of time. That would not happen with TV in the same way. Sure, you might binge watch a program for 10 hours and then turn your TV off. But there is still the sort of agentic choice. So back before cell phones, the internet was a similar thing, right? So the iPhone was invented in 2007, 2008. And so this is a new form of use. But before that, you would have to log onto your computer and type www.whatever.com in order to use the internet. But now there is none of that. It's just your phone is telling you to look at it. It's making these noises or vibrations. And then you're going to go and you have one intention, but you end up doing something else. And there is a sort of loss of agency. The algorithms that underlie all of these applications sort of decide where you're going to go or what you're going to see. And it's also different from TV because when you watch TV, a lot of the times it's something you pay for and you in exchange get entertainment, right? But in social media, you are the product, the user. In most for-profit social media platforms, there is not really a service being provided in the way that people think. So if you log on to Twitter or TikTok or whatever, you might think, oh, I am now getting free entertainment. But it's not free because the real product that they're selling is people's attention. So you, the user, are the product. You're not the end customer. The end customer is people who want to buy your data, and that data marketplace is massive. And so it's not really entertainment. It is a sort of form of work you're doing. You're giving your data. You're sort of providing the content that becomes essentially the key money-making agent in this context.
We're watching TV. TV is watching, but the internet is watching us and smartphones are watching us. Social media is. I see here, toxic interactions are mindlessly doom-scrolling immersed in dopamine-driven feedback loops. Explain that, if you would, please, what that means.
Yeah, so it's basically, dopamine-driven feedback loops are how a lot of these platforms are designed, right? They're designed to essentially make it so that you don't look elsewhere. Every platform, every for-profit social media platform wants users to spend the most amount of time on their platform so that they can harvest the most amount of data from each user. So in order to keep people hanging on the platform, the algorithm will show them the kinds of content that might, be most likely to keep them logged on. And in this case, it's easier, research has found over time, it is much easier to keep people hanging on if they are shown things that are emotionally disturbing or things that make them emotionally charged. So negative interactions and trolling and outrage are particularly effective at making sure people keep coming back, right? Say somebody gets into a really stupid argument in the comment section of some social media platform. Who hasn't seen that, right? There's a lot of this happening. Psychologically, the person becomes so entrenched in that toxic interaction that they're just going to spend their whole day just refreshing to just come back and look at this content. Or doom scrolling is a common one. Everybody knows, right? If you go on social media, it makes it seem as though the world is a very, very terrible and dark place, that only bad things are happening. And that fear that invokes makes people come back for more because they're like, oh no, what else is going on? What else is going on? And there isn't really too much of an antidote out there. They're not really showing some of the better things that might be happening, where people are coming together to fight against injustice or, whatever positive news there is gets buried under the kind of news that produces fear, because sociologists have found in the past that fear is a very good way to ensure that people keep coming back.
We're being played and we don't realize it. Accurate.
Yeah, and definitely in some ways.
Yeah, all right. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. 504-260-1870. That's the Hogan and Jeweler talk and text line. Please, no texting and driving. But do you put screen time limits on yourself or on your kids, or do you just ever find yourself caught up in social media, as the professor just said, these stupid arguments where it's almost like you. That's it. I'm putting the phone down. Let me pick it up again. No, you. 622 traffic now, WWL. give you a little hint about it. The worldwide spread of the internet has revolutionized communication at a harrowing cost. The relentless commodification of attention. They're using us. They're playing us. Algorithm-driven capitalism extracts profit from not only physical bodies, but also the emotional and creative labor of internet users. Professor, tell me about the book.
I'm sorry, I got dropped by accident. So my book is a broader sort of uncovering of the history of the internet and where we are today and where we can go from there. And so the main theoretical argument that I'm making in this book is that every time we use the internet, basically we are doing free labor, essentially, for tech companies and social media companies, right?
Unless Say that using... again. Say that again. That's everything. Say what you just said again.
Every time we use the internet, we are doing free labor for social media companies. So that's something people don't realize a lot of the times because, again, there's been this blurring of entertainment and news and everyday life in the way social media is used. So it's just sort of like a parasite that follows us everywhere and steals our data, feeds off of us, essentially, right? You can think of the algorithm as a live parasite that essentially survives by sucking on our blood, our data. And so that whole ecosystem cannot thrive if people are not voluntarily going into these spaces and giving their time, giving their energy, giving their labor. Like, so much on the internet is just creative content that people have made, right? Whether you're just like crafting a 240 character tweet or you're making a video for TikTok, it is a lot of work that takes a lot of creativity. And like, historically, the way we conceptualized of work was not one that required a lot of like creative energy, right? Like, if you think about the factory, it was always, we think about like really repetitive, mind-numbing tasks. And so social media has done this thing where not only we don't get paid for using it for the most part, unless you're a really successful influencer, and that's like a whole pyramid scheme, most people don't get paid. But also it's that they're constantly exhausting their creative faculties. So by the time you're like trying to do something for yourself, you already used up all of your creative juices just doing mindless interactions on social media or creating mindless social media content that you don't profit from, you don't benefit from in any way, and oftentimes you sort of get the negative effect of.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. A parasite. That there's your word to take away from this. We'll come back. Talk with Greg Upton, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies, about China leading the way in green energy and clean energy. Back in a flash, WWO. 647, 13 till 7. Today's weather is going to be kind of like it was yesterday, so that tells you everything you need to know. One thing I find interesting is the political or perception, I guess, when it comes to green energy and clean energy and solar and the United States and China. And I think there's a perception out there or political outlook that China pollutes the environment. They don't care that the United States should forego clean energy or green energy because China doesn't care, when in fact China's beaten the United States when it comes to clean energy. Greg Upton joins us now, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Doing well. Good morning, Tommy.
Tell me about that. It seems to me there is a political perception that China doesn't care about green this, clean that. They don't give a, you know, what. All they want to do is pollute the environment as quickly as they can. But yet, we also talk about China and their technical advancements. And when it comes to solar, when it comes to other things, China really is way ahead of us, are they not?
Well, it's is a lot of questions. It's a nuanced question.
Jump into wherever you feel comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. So China, of course, has been growing rapidly over the last decade. But the really reason why they've been growing so rapidly is because they started off just way, way poorer than the United States. And so today, the GDP per capita in China is about a third of that in the United States. So meaning that the average worker there is about a third as productive as the average worker in the United States. But at the same time that they, of course, have lower GDP, if you look at the total amount of emissions per unit of GDP that they produce, China has about twice the emissions per, again, unit of output than the United States. And this creates a big conflict for them. Of course, they want to see that economic development. But on the flip side, the emissions are a big deal. And, you know, you and I, Tommy, have talked a lot of times about greenhouse gas emissions in this global market. And that's kind of a luxury for us in the United States to be talking about that. In China, the discussion is way more around localized pollutants. And a lot of these large metro areas have very, very poor air quality. And so when they talk about what is going to be the energy mix of the future, of course, there's the climate discussion, and we can get into that. But I think the way bigger piece of it is really those localized air pollutants. And by the way, the economic estimates out there estimate that that air pollution is one of the largest causes of premature death globally, and that's something that we're really fortunate to not really deal with here in the United States, at least relative to the extent that they dealt with other places in the world, in particular China, that's been dealing with that. In terms of the electricity demand and energy demand, as we've talked about in the United States, it's been flat over the last decade. And the reason for the flat energy demand in the U.S. is, on one hand, of course, you have the economic growth, and that increases the demand for energy. But on the other hand, you have these efficiencies, and that's going to reduce the demand for energy. And in the United States and in Western Europe, those have about been in balance. But when you go to the developing world, that calculus is very, very different. Of course, you have efficiencies, and those are going to lead to reductions in demand. But the economic growth component of it is significantly larger than here in the United States. So what you're seeing is just an enormous amount of investment in trying to meet this growing energy demand in the developing world. So China, of course, is building out wind and solar rapidly, and you're absolutely correct that in terms of just the sheer amount of wind and solar that they're building, it's a way larger amount than the United States. It's also true that the share of their total electric grid from wind and solar now is actually higher than the United States. But it's also true that China's emissions continue to increase rapidly. They continue to build out coal at a very, very large scale. And so it's really a double-edged sword. Yes, they want to meet that energy demand. Yes, they want to reduce those emissions, especially those localized pollutants. But there's a trade-off between those two things.
So let me take a break. It seems like what I'm hearing is right now they're not going to take a step back to anybody. So they continue to build coal, and I'll ask you about nuclear when we come back. But they continue to build coal. They realize, though, that, and I go harken back to the Olympics whenever they were in China, that how bad the pollution was. They realize that they're polluting their own country first before the world, right? I mean, it starts there. So they have to do something about it. So they're working on solar or alternative energy as fast as they can, but they're not giving up on what's polluting the air now. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
All right, we'll pick it up when we come back. 6:52, 8 till 7, traffic now, WWL. I think what Tommy Tucker, WWL, 6:57, I think what gets lost in this green energy debate and as it relates to the United States and coal energy, coal-generated power, and China and other developing nations is that the first thing you do before you pollute the world is pollute your own nation. China knows that. That's why they're working on nuclear power and some other things. And for those that say, well, the United States, it doesn't matter what they do as far as the world pollution goes because of what China and other nations are doing, developing nations are doing, not that China's a developing nation, but the pollution's going to start here in the United States, right, Greg, and then spread around the world?
Yeah, so there's two type of pollutants that we think about. The first is localized pollutants. And so that you think about the debates around acid rain and, you know, these scrubbers on these coal plants that happened in the United States. And we have implemented technologies that have reduced those significantly since the 1970s and 1980s. The other type of pollutant is a greenhouse gas emission. And that's something like carbon dioxide, that if you emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it doesn't negatively impact the person who is a mile away from that emission source. That mixes in the atmosphere and impacts the global temperature, which impacts the world for the next century, two centuries to come. And so, you know, you've got these localized pollutants that we've really dealt with in the United States. Not that we can't make more progress, of course. But that was really a hotter topic two decades ago. We're really seeing China deal with that topic today, again, as they reach this, you know, go on this path of economic development.
So are they making huge strides? And when it comes to solar, I don't know about the physics of this. I know you're an economist, not a physicist, but I'm just wondering if China's not taking the lead on when it comes to green energy, and are they leaving the United States behind or not necessarily?
My opinion is they're not. I mean, they're building out a lot of capacity of it. They're doubling down on the manufacturing of these things. And also we didn't get into it, but the precious metals, that's a huge thing. But on the technology development, the U.S., in my view, is still number one.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate your time as always. Greg Upton, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies. We'll take a break. We come back. We talked to Archie Chesson, President LaFouche Parrish, soon to be executive director of the Office of Louisiana Highway Construction, and see what that means. And then we're going to talk about President Trump. He was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, and his ankles have been swollen, apparently. I didn't know anything about this till yesterday, so we'll talk about that. Then we're going to talk about Coke and obesity and sugar and all that stuff. A lot coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.